For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas the angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, in heart that have exercised with covetous practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they shall speak great swelling words of vanity, that they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are tangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Before we get into this chapter here this afternoon, I had one other thought that came to me in regards to our desire and our strong need to be partakers of the Word of God, to daily partake of it and to allow it to be something very, very special to us. There was once an individual, I'm not sure if it was a male or a female, a child of God, that read their Bible continually, read it all the time. But after a certain amount of time, their sight went dim, and they weren't able to read anymore. So what that individual did then was they learned Braille, and they read the Bible through Braille, and would not allow the eyesight, the diminishing of the eyesight, to reduce the amount of Bible reading that they did. And so they learned Braille, and they read the Bible through Braille. But after a certain time after that, the tips of their fingers became numb, and they weren't able to then feel the Braille anymore. So what that individual then did was took their lips and put their lips to the Braille and continued to be able to read the Bible through that method. That is an individual who hungered and thirsted after the Word of God. And it's a humbling thought that do I love the Word that much that I'm willing to go to that extent to be in the Word and to love the Word and to be a partaker of the Word and then to live thereby? May that inspire us to be found in the Word and to be blessed by the reading thereof, because there is a blessing in reading of the Word. So 2 Peter chapter number 2 is heavy reading. It's not something that's pleasant to think of, and when it speaks here of false teachers and the destruction that awaits them. But yet it is a blessing. Yet it's a good thing, because we recognize that we see that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is loving, and the Lord gives plenty of warning, and the Lord gives plenty of instruction and allowance for even false teachers, false prophets, to return from their false ways and to speak forth the word of life in truth. And so, as we consider this chapter that speaks of the condemnation of false teachers, let's consider that God has been gracious to us, and God desires that we would not depart from his ways, but that we would know the truth, and that we would live in this truth that he has given unto us. So, in the previous chapter, chapter number 1, in verse number 12, we read, "Be established in the present truth." So here's the warning, here's the instructions on how we can overcome false teachings and the destruction that comes from false teachings. He says that we are to be established in the present truth. So as we're reading our Bibles, as we are meditating upon his law, as we are thinking upon those things which are just, true, honest, lovely, of good report, of all these things, and as his word is alive within us, we are being established in the present truth. Meaning that as a town is established and its coordinates are defined, and it's in that certain place, that establishment continues on for many decades, many centuries. And he's saying here, be established in the present truth. Don't be moved from the present truth. As we have come to know Jesus Christ and who he is, don't be moved by that. Don't be moved from that, is what Peter is saying here in the first chapter. Be established in the present truth. Jesus Christ was with God throughout all eternity. He came down here upon this earth. He took upon himself flesh and blood. He lived a perfect life. He brought forth his Father's words to the masses, Jew and Gentile. He called us to him. He calls us to repent. He calls us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. He calls us to be merciful. He calls us not to judge or to condemn. He calls us to give. He calls us to be stewards. This is the present truth that we know, and that we know then that he went and then he became that supreme sacrifice once and for all, that he would die upon the cross, and the shedding of his blood would be for the remission of sins once and for all, and that he was buried. But the tomb could not contain him, but that he resurrected. But that he resurrected by the power of God. And then he ascended and is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for all mankind. Even now, this is the present truth that we are to be established in and not to be moved from. We know that Jesus calls us to repent. Our denomination preaches repentance and conversion, that there needs to be a change, that the one that needs to die to themselves and be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the establishment of that truth needs to be in our hearts and in our minds. And that any false teaching that comes otherwise is there's a warning out there for that. And so we are to be established in this present truth. And then as we are in the Word and we're reading the Word and we're established in the truth, that we, as the psalmist says, to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long, that we would be in reverence towards God, recognizing just how great he is, how great of a God we serve, how powerful he is, and how he can just speak a word and great things happen. We are to be in fear of him all the day long, as the Bible teaches us to do. We know the Bible. We read it and we are partakers of it. And so there are warnings given to us not only here in 2 Peter chapter 2, but also even in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, it says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." Other things that false teachers might teach. Don't be carried about with divers or different, various, and strange doctrines. Don't be carried about of those. But for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. This is that good thing. This is what the Lord is calling it. This is a good thing that our hearts be established with grace. This is that good thing that the Lord wants to impart unto us, that we would be established in this, that our hearts, it's a good thing that our heart be established with grace, that grace and that truth that came from Jesus Christ. One other quick reference Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And this is what 2 Peter chapter 2 is speaking of crafty men wanting to deceive, but that we would not fall from our established truth that we are in, but that we would be found faithful unto him. So he begins the chapter by saying, "But there were false prophets among you, also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." He's saying it happened in times past. This is nothing new. There were false prophets in the Old Testament. We can read of them. And Peter's saying, and there will be false teachers among you as well. This is nothing new. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Don't be moved from that being established in the truth. "And they shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Secretly, they're going to bring in, Peter saying here, damnable heresies, meaning those untruths that a teaching would bring forth that is not part of the gospel. As they would bring that in and deny the Lord that bought them, they bring upon themselves, as they do these things, swift destruction. And so as we read through this chapter, we read how there is destruction. There is damnation that comes to false teachers, those who bring forth another gospel. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. A false teacher can come across as eloquent, as believable, but if it's not of the Word of God, it's not truth. And we are not to be swayed away from what being established in the truth. They're pernicious ways. Pernicious would be harmful or destructive ways. And speaking evil of the way of truth. We think of these things as horrendous, really bad things. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Again, there will be a destruction to false teachers. The Apostle Peter here is laying that out very clearly. He's saying that in times past there were false prophets, in today's time there's false teachers, and in both cases there was a damnation that didn't slumber. There was a swift destruction that was brought about to them because of the false teachings that they had. And then he goes forth and he brings forth three examples of this truth, that those who lived in disobedience, those who taught wrong or and did wrong, there was a swift destruction to them. The first example he gives of the angels that sinned. They were cast down to hell and delivered to the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. That's the first example he's saying. Angels that sinned, they were sent into chains of darkness and down into hell. The second example he gives is of the old world. God spared not the old world. He saved Noah, but he brought in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. There were evil men back then in the old world. And God brought it all to an end with the flood. So that's the second example he gives of that when evil abounds and there's false teachings, that there is a swift destruction, there is a damnation that slumbers not. And the third example he gives here is of Sodom and Gomorrah, where he says he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. They were destroyed. They were burned. All that was left was ashes. And he condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Again, clear teaching here. When there's evil teaching, when there is evil living, there is a swift destruction. That destruction comes. It slumbers not. It is a swift destruction, the Bible here is saying. Further, he says in verse number 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And this was an example of Lot as the example. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The Lord knows who it is that's reading his word. The Lord knows who it is who desires to have a pure heart, to not in any way defile themselves, but to live uprightly before the Lord, that whatever thoughts we may have, the words that we may speak, the attitudes that we have, the aspirations that we have, the deeds that we do, that it's all good and clean before the Lord. It's well-pleasing in his sight. Because he has given us grace, and we have come to that recognition that it is a great God that we serve, and we want to please him well. And so as we desire to please him well, he calls us to be godly. He calls us to be godly. And then he knows how to deliver us out of temptation. This the Lord does. This the Lord does. He delivers us out of temptation. And we read of deliverance. We read of how those in the Old Testament were delivered. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it speaks of the Lord knows, or the Lord has delivered us from so great a death. In past tense, he delivered us from so great a death. He gives unto us eternal life. And he wants to impart unto us life. And so in past tense, he delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver in present tense, and we trust he will yet deliver in future tense. Meaning we have faith to believe that in the future he will deliver us as well. As we live godly before him, as Lot lived godly before the Lord. And so Peter is reminding us anew that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He will do these things. He's done it in times past, and he will continue to do it. But ours is to be established in the present truth. To be established in the present truth, and not to be moved away from it. To allow our thoughts, our meditation to be upon the Word of God all the day long. To rejoice in him. To rejoice in him. And then when we hear a teaching that doesn't sound quite right, we go immediately back to the Scriptures and say, is that truth? Is it truth? And then we find whether it's truth or not. He says, he knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of punishment, and chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Okay, so these false teachers, it's difficult to describe that there are those who just simply have no regard for the truth and are deliberately teaching something that is anti-gospel, that is not according to the truth. Presumptuous. That means they're brash. They're arrogant. No regard for others. No regard for others. They're brash. They're arrogant. Presumptuous, the Bible here says, are they self-willed, not submitting themselves to the will of the Lord, but they're self-willed. And they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So my mind goes to a man that this happened shortly afterward, and the Apostle John had to deal with such a one. So in the third epistle of John, he writes that I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember the deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Diotrephes, doing exactly what the Apostle Peter was saying here. That they are presumptuous, self-willed, and not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Diotrephes did exactly that. And so as Peter's saying here, there were false prophets in times past. There's going to be false teachers today. And here was Diotrephes doing that same thing that he's speaking here of. Being presumptuous, arrogant, self-willed, proud, and not afraid to speak evil of dignities. He wasn't afraid of the Apostle John. He prated against them with malicious words. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Diotrephes, he had a swift destruction. His damnation didn't slumber. Again, ours is to be established in the present truth. God will judge these false teachers as he's judged the false prophets in times past. God will judge them. God will judge them. And it speaks of that here in the next verse. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Even the angels wouldn't bring an accusation against these false teachers and the false prophets. But knowing that the Lord was going to provide the right judgment to them. And we read also in the Epistle of Jude of how Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." So the angels, who are greater in power and might, wouldn't bring an accusation against any. Neither would they bring condemnation or judgment. But that belongs to the Lord. That belongs to the Lord. Ours is to be in the Word and to be established in the present truth and to know that vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. These, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Again, just speaking that they will perish. There will be a judgment to them, and they will receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. The Lord Jesus said that there would be terrors among the wheat. And we find that to be true here as it's laid out in this chapter. And it continues on and it speaks of all these things. And it says that these are wells without water. When we think of that visualization, how one would be extremely thirsty and they go there to this well and they're expecting that wells are for water and there should be some water down in this well and I'll get some water and I'll quench my thirst and find that the bucket just clanks around at the bottom of the well and there's no water there. It's dry. And that's how it is with the false teachers. There's nothing that a false teacher can give that really satisfies as Jesus, that the living water as he satisfies. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, meaning that there's no stability in them. Jesus Christ is our rock. He's our foundation. He moves not. He has established the truth. But these are clouds that are just blown away with the wind. There's no anchoring of them. To whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Again, another visualization as you think that those who were proclaiming false teachings and were teaching of things that regard the lust of the flesh, the covetousness, and making merchandise of people, to them is reserved the mist of darkness. You can't see. It's dark. It's dim. It's dismal. That's what's reserved for them forever, as it speaks here. The false teachers would desire to promise them liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. If we take heed to false teachings, if we take heed to principles that are not according to the Word of God, we will be overcome. And so we are reminded again that and warned, be in the Word, understand what truth is, and be established in that present truth, and don't be moved away from it. It's a good thing that our hearts be established with grace. That's a good thing. So we are not to be carried about by diverse doctrines. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them if they had not known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Again, this is difficult reading. We don't like to think that once we have been enlightened with the truth, that we would be deceived by the evil one and go back into darkness. But the Lord is gracious, and he gives us plenty of warning, and he delivers the godly out of temptations. And we know that he will be our helper, yet it requires that we yield to him. It requires that we are obedient unto him, that we are not presumptuous, proud, arrogant, thinking we know better than others, that we are not to be self-willed. I'm going to do it my way, and I don't care about anybody else. That's not what the Lord has called us to. The Lord has called us to be poor in spirit. The Lord has called us to be meek. The Lord has called us to be merciful. The Lord has called us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord has called us to be peacemakers. The Lord has called us to be merciful. The Lord has called us to forgive. The Lord has called us not to judge and not to condemn. The Lord has called us to give. This is what the Lord has called. This is the gospel that we are not to be moved from, but that we are to be steadfast in. And that it ought to be a part of our lives. Whether at work, whether at home, whether at church, it doesn't matter. This is our lives. This is our lives. And we live for him, and we glorify his name. And he's well pleased with us, and he will provide for us. He will provide for us in his goodness. I'd like to close with a few verses in the first chapter of Philippians. Starting with verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. Only let your conversation, your lifestyle, everything about you, let that all as would be fitting for the gospel of Christ. Again, it's about that being poor in spirit, meek, merciful, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, being a peacemaker, giving, forgiving, loving our enemies, loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. This is the gospel. Not to be self-willed, not to be presumptuous. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. So again, in season, out of season, at church, at home, at work, wherever we may be, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, and with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel, for something that's greater than us individually, or even us as together living for the Lord. This is for the faith of the gospel. This is for the kingdom of God's sake. This is that we might glorify him. This is why we are here upon the earth, to glorify the Lord, to lift up his name, to please him well. We're striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Again, this morning we heard about, should the apostles have been worried about the giants that opposed them? And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. So when we hear a false teaching, once saved, always saved, or whatever it might be, we don't need to be terrified by that teaching. We don't need to be terrified by any adversary. We know who the truth is. We know that God gave unto us his word. We don't need to be terrified by our adversaries, which to them is an evident token of perdition. So again, the false teachers will receive their destruction. 2 Peter chapter 2 makes that abundantly clear. They will receive their destruction. There will be a swift destruction. There will be a damnation that they will face. But to you of salvation and that of God. Let's commit to living out the gospel. Let's commit to absorbing his word into our lives. Let's commit to having the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our lives. And that is a salvation that will be ours and that of God. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Those who have gone on before us, who believed in the Lord, they in addition to their belief, they also suffered for the Lord. And then he says, and having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. Let's not be terrified by our adversaries. Let's not be terrified by false teachers. They were, from time of old, even through today, false teachers teaching things that are not the gospel, not the gospel. Let's be established in the present truth. Let's not be moved from the word of God. Let's continue in his way. Let's bend the knee before him. Worship his name. Ask him for strength. Ask him for wisdom. And he will provide. He will provide abundantly, abundantly to us wisdom when we ask and ask in faith. May God give us grace, each and every one, day by day. Amen.
The writing in 2 Peter chapter 2 gives a warning to one and all to be watchful and to be prayerful regarding the examples and the role models that present themselves to us in the way of teaching. And Peter echoes the words of Jesus Christ, who said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." And in this chapter, we've also been encouraged to look inwardly to see, who are we? What sort of well are we? Are we a well that looks nice on the surface, but in the depths is empty? Or are we a well that weary pilgrims and weary passers-by who we come in contact with will find that which they are longing for and will satisfy their soul? Oh, that each and every one of us would have that sort of heart, would be ready to give a refreshing word of the truth of the Word of God, not watered down and consistent with the false teachings that are described here, but would be the true, and only find our hope and sustenance from Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to that end. Amen.